Lipcast Slovakia, the podcast about Slovak literature in English. Welcome to Lipcast Slovakia number 11. I'm Julia Sherwood, and my guest today in the second podcast with a focus on poetry is the poet and translator Mária Ferenčuhová. Mária Ferenčuhová lives in Bratislava, where she has taught at the Film and Television Department of the Academy of Performing Arts. Her collections of poetry include Ohrozený druh, Threatened Species, and Imunita, and most recently Černozem, Black Earth. She is one of the five poets due to participate in a reading at the Poetry Society Cafe in London as part of the European Writers' Tour organized by UNIC. This was originally planned for this spring, but because of the pandemic has been postponed to the 9th of November and will take place online. Hello, Mária, zdravím. Welcome to Lipcast Slovakia.
Hello, Julia, and thank you for having me.
And thank you for coming. For the past 6 months, the world has been in the grip of a pandemic. In your poetry, you often deal with critical issues that affect humanity and our planet. So the current situation almost begs to be a subject of poetry by you. So I wonder, have you written any poems inspired or induced by the coronavirus? Or has maybe the pandemic had the opposite effect, giving you a writer's block or making you turn to other subjects?
Oh, well, so I haven't had a block, but I haven't written any poetry. Maybe because the pandemic made my 13 years old son stay home for almost 4 months. So I cooked. I was cooking, teaching mathematics, geography and history, so I learned lots of new things, but I didn't have much time to write, to concentrate. And I also learned what was having ADHD like, because I was so stressed during at the beginning of the pandemic, that I couldn't really read or concentrate to do something that required more time than 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. So my intellectual work was a little bit weird, and I was happy that I was able to do work tasks for the Film Monthly I work for now. I wasn't writing poetry, but at the same time, I was preparing for the publishing my fifth poetry book, Černozem, as you already mentioned. And when I'm finishing a book, I rarely write new poems, but there are some texts brought by the pandemics, but it's not poetry. It's something in between prose and essays, or even experimental texts, and I still don't know what to do with them, so we will see. I'm a very slow poet, so a slow writer, so I let the things, sediment, and then only I work with these texts. So no pandemic, no coronavirus text, but the text about aging, dying, fragility, or even somehow distorted perception. Yes, they already exist in scratches.
That is really interesting, and I look forward to seeing those when they are published, when you feel ready, of course.
Yeah, in 5 or 6 years.
Oh, well, I hope it's going to be a little bit sooner than that. But in the meantime, now, how would you characterize your poetry for those of our listeners who are not familiar with it? And could you name some poets who have inspired you, whether ones writing in Slovak or in other languages? And I would also be interested to know if you see yourself as a part of the eco-poetry movement, which reflects present-day environmental challenges, and whether you follow the work of poets writing in this vein, such as Julia Fedorchuk in Poland.
So as I said, I'm very slow in writing. I usually write poems quite quickly, but then I need really lots of time to think it over, to make researches or to read plenty of very various books. And it's not always the poetry that inspires me. I can be inspired by, I don't know, a newspaper article or by a scientific book or even by what I see around, of course. But the texts that are not basically poetic inspire me a lot. Maybe it's my basis of a linguist that shows in this approach. But usually when I write, I don't know, maybe 5 or 10 poems, and I still don't know what they are or will be about, and then I start to see a topic or a theme behind the text, and slowly I can start doing my researches. So of course I read lots of poetry, but not related to the topic. The inspiration from the other poets comes usually by chance or accidentally. And what is a conscious work, usually it's coming from other fields. I work in a quite interdisciplinary way because maybe it's my nature of a failed scientist. Reading poetry and feeling the poetry usually doesn't come from the authors who write like I do. So when, for instance, my Poetry Connection Immunity was out, people started to ask me whether I knew Miroslav Holub, who was a poet and immunologist, and his work is really very interesting. And Immunity is the book based on medical discourses. And I was curious to see how the medicine portrays people. And so it's a work that is not only about illnesses or living, experiencing illnesses, pain, and suffering. But also a work that could be maybe described as somewhat social linguistic, based on these medical files I found and I worked on. So the connection between me and Miroslav Holub was very interesting, but it came after I have already written Immunity. And when people ask me about ecofeminist or ecological environmental poetry. Of course, I can relate to the work of Julia Fedorchuk or other poets, but usually I discover this poetry only after I already have written mine. When I start writing and I don't know what it will be about. I have something like a vague intuition that I need to write this or that. And only, well, so it's very automatic, very intuitive. And then I need to, to do a research. So to work in a different way than poetic. Maybe it would be wise to find poets who already work on ecofeminist topics, but when I am in the process of writing, I usually don't know that it will help the label of ecofeminist poetry, for instance. So it's that there is something like a dephasing this process. So I'm not very conscious of what I am doing when I'm right in the process of doing it.
Well, as you said, I guess it really is logical that writing poetry is a very intuitive process. And recently, being a poet also means increasingly being a performer. So poets are often expected to take part in readings. And literary events recently have been mostly driven online. And you have participated in quite a few virtual or semi-virtual events. And paradoxically, this has made such events more accessible to broader audiences beyond the usual suspects. So what I wonder is, do you think that the pandemic could actually have some beneficial side effects, for example, by expanding the readership of poetry? And also, do you think that in these uncertain times, people have been seeking solace in poetry more than before?
First of all, I will tell something about the poetry reading and performances. I personally don't like them a lot because I'm quite introverted and I don't like to perform. And I think Slovakia doesn't really have the tradition of performing poetry. Actors perform the poetry in a very different way than authors can do. And when I started to go to the poetry festivals, I was completely amazed by the poets who were really performers. I would like to not to imitate, but to learn how to tell my poetry, how to say it, how to perform it. But I literally can't because I would start shaking. I made a progress in the meantime, but still, I don't really feel very comfortable in front of an audience. So poetry readings online are somewhat more comfortable, but at the same time, they are strange because you don't feel the audience, and feeling the audience is something really important. Although not the critical feedback, but the atmosphere, the energy of the audience make every performance special and unique. And you don't have that while reading or performing your poetry online. You just can imagine the audience, or you can perform for yourself. So sometimes it can be really introverted. Sometimes you can perform or overdo it. And it's not always easy. It's like performing in front of a mirror. So sometimes it can bring more freedom, but at the same time, I wouldn't go completely naked in front of foreign people that I don't know. So there is something very paradoxical in online readings. So this is from the perspective of the author. Not the author of me, myself, not really liking these performances. But as a reader or visitor of poetry reading, I'm, this is really great. This is something that that makes you you can attend any reading you want. If you are not available in at the precise moment of the reading, you can download it or watch it online after. So I don't have this fear of missing out when there are poetry readings online because they're available after the stream is over, but the recordings are there. And I never watched YouTube videos of poets before. Of course, with my son, I was watching YouTube videos or video clips or small short documentaries, but rarely poetry. Even if, for example, Stephen Fowler makes his performances and all the series of poetry reading online, and that they are on YouTube for, I don't know, maybe 10 years already. I didn't have the habit. I wasn't used to listen or watch them, and now it changed. So I'm watching more closely poetry online. So for me, it's a big change. I don't know if it's a big change for people who are not used to the poetry, who are not poetry readers. Maybe if it opens a new universe to them, so the poetry would be more accessible to larger audiences. But I'm a little bit skeptical. I think this is a big change for all the people who already love poetry.
I would like to move on now to translations. In 2018, a selection of your poetry, Tidal Events, appeared in English, translated by James Sutherland Smith, who was my guest on the previous podcast. Is James Sutherland Smith your regular translator into English, or have you worked with several translators? And can you tell me something about your collaboration with your translators also into other languages?
Being translated is rather a new thing to me. Of course, the samples of my poetry have been translated into English, German, or several European languages, but it was in my absence. I was completely distant. I didn't know that the Literary Information Center made translate them. And only in, I think it was in 2009, that I participated for the first time to a workshop, a translation workshop, where we were working via bridge language, and I discovered that there are many approaches to the translation of poetry, and they were all very contact. So authors were in a very close contact with the translators. They were negotiating, precising the meanings, of searching for nuances, reading the poetry and in the original and then in the version to compare the rhythm, the energy. So it was completely a different thing than having something translated into, for instance, English without being in touch with the translation. And I met James Sutherland Smith thanks to a translation workshop like this. It was co-organized by Scottish Poetry Library in 2015. And it started like a cooperation, and the output of, I don't know, maybe three or four poems that James translated for me, and I translated several poems of James. And
So you translated him into Slovak?
Yes. So it was this kind of mutual translation. And James then taught me, maybe several months later, that he was planning to translate a selection of my books and make it into a book and publish it in the UK. And I didn't believe that it could be done one day. So I was happy, of course, but it was something like a small dream that is somewhere behind me, or in front of me, but right behind somewhere. Really, it was an idea that I couldn't put in front of me because it was so unreal. But it, James made it all. He kept translating, and he kept sending me emails with the questions. Then he sent me also rough translations, and we were in touch. And then one day he sent me another email saying that it will be published in Scherzmann's at Chessmans in 2017 or 18. And it was really a great thing because, well, you know, the poetry is maybe the most difficult literature form to translate because it usually is an open structure. It allows many interpretations. Poets work with polysemia, and so you are not free, but if you are not precising with the author, it can happen that that it's another, it's a new poem based on the original. So with James it was different, but still I think that it's his poetry together with my poetry, because he made the selection, he chose the order of poems, and it was a different order. It wasn't ordered chronology or assorted chronologically, but James was following his own or the motives he selected. And for me, it was really interesting to see how he perceives my poetry. And I like this freedom he took, because it wasn't distorting my poetry. It was just another reading of something that I wrote one day. So yes, working with James was special, and of course I work with other translators if I have the opportunity. John Minahan translated several of my poems, and he's very, very faithful and precise when translating. So it's maybe closer to the original, but maybe less energetic. I would say it's very hard to describe and to compare very different ways of translating. I think translation of poetry is always an authorial or author work. So for me as a reader, as a poetry writer, it's always very, I'm very curious to compare, to see the small nuances and details, or even these new interpretations, new layers a translator can put into his or her work.
Now, I'd like to turn the tables a little. You have recently published a translation of Michel Houellebecq's first novel. I'm not going to try and read the French original title. In English, it was published under the title Whatever. What made you choose this book rather than any other of his books?
Yes, so with translations, it's a completely different story, because I usually don't select the books that I will translate. I get the offers, and I have the freedom, of course, to accept or reject the offers. And Michel Houellebecq's was one of the authors I discovered in maybe 2001 in Paris, and I read his famous novel, which was the recent one at that time. It was the Platform, then I read Les Particules Élémentaires, Elementary Particles, and I tried to convince Albert Marenčín from the publishing house Marenčín PT in Slovakia to translate this author. But it was complicated because the translation rights were held by another publishing house. So for maybe 5 or 7 years, it wasn't possible to translate Michel Houellebecq, because there was another publishing house that would like to prepare, and they prepaid, or I don't know, they had already an agreement with the French publishing house. So I needed to wait. And I was very busy until 2015, so I did only small translations and several novels or essays from film studies or art essays, but not a big novel. And only 2 years ago, I got the offer from Literárna Bašta, the publishing house that is quite young and held by young people. And they proposed me the first novel because it was another publisher and not Michel Houellebecq's usual publishing house. So this is a little bit complicated, but again, it shows well how the world of translation rights work, how the fact if the book market is bigger or of smaller influences or has the impact on what will be translated and what will be not. There are contests between Czechs and Slovaks translators who will publish the translation faster. So there are many factors that can influence what will be on the bookshelves in the bookstores. And I was happy to translate the first novel because it is the novel where Michel Houellebecq is still fragile. He's less cynical. He's a little bit ridiculous and aware of being ridiculous. So there is a metatextual layer that I love and I really like a lot, and that is much more hidden in next novels he wrote. This cynical, provocative tone is more important in, I don't know, Platform, Loneliness of the Island, or Serotonin, the newest novel he published.
You actually made me want to read this novel in your translation, because to be absolutely honest, precisely because of this cynicism, I haven't been really tempted to get into Houellebecq. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. I'm happy to hear that.
And just to finish off, almost traditionally now, I'd like to ask you for some recommendations of Slovak poets that you think English readers should read because they already exist in translation, or who you think should be translated and who you think would resonate well with the English language readers.
English readers can read Mila Haugová in translation made by James Sutherland Smith. So this is my first recommendation, of course, because Mila, maybe together with Ivan Štrbka, are the biggest living contemporary poets. And I really admire their works. I don't know how many poems are already translated from Ivan Štrbka, but Lonely Runners, especially Ivan Štrbka and Ivan Laučík, are really worth to be translated. I mean, the entire poetry collections, because they work in a very wise way. They know how to compose the entire book. It's not a simple selection, but it's a small universe. From the more contemporary or younger authors, definitely Michal Habaj, Katarína Kucbelová, Nora Ružičková. Her first works are very different from the experimental line she is exploring right now. She was experimental even in the first novel, but in a very different way, less conceptual and much more experimenting with the emotions and energies that they made sometimes freeze. And now she's working with language and using it as almost visual graphic art. But it's still a very interesting linguistic work. Then also Peter Schule. I think English readers would appreciate poetry of Anna Ondrejková or Rudolf Jurolek, because there is something spiritual, very inner and reflected by the nature. I'm maybe a little bit vague when saying that, but I see some similarities between what English readers in the festivals, of course, so it's not a generalization, but just my personal guess that they would appreciate this poetry.
Well, thank you for all these fantastic recommendations. To come back to Ivan Štrbka, I understand that a collection of his poetry has been translated by John Minahane and just started looking for a publisher, so let's hope it works out. And also thank you for the other suggestions. Let's hope there are some translators out there who will be willing to tackle them, and especially some publishers willing to publish them. So thank you very much also for coming on the podcast and for overcoming your hesitation about your English. You really needn't have had any qualms about it, because it's absolutely fantastic. So thank you very much, and good luck with finishing off your thoughts, essays,
or prose,
notes and prose about the pandemic, but also about anything else.
Thank you very much, Ilya.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.